You spent your life in this path of standing firm, standing for the cause of Allah. Is there any outstanding story that stands out in your life from all the others? He said, yes, there's one, and I'll share it with you. The theme of tonight, as you can see, is standing firm in times of uncertainty. Psychologists say that you can't be what you can't see. I want to say that again. Psychologists say that you can't be what you can't see. Humankind perform best when they have the desired competency modeled in front of them. So I will take from where my dear brother Sheikh Wail left off and put before you an example of standing firm. For those of you that want to check, this is in the book of Sifatul Safwa by Imam Al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala. And many years ago, one of the ugliest points in human history is referred to as the Crusades. So the Crusades were a time when both the church and the state decided to plunder Muslim lands. So soldiers from Europe came into Muslim lands, into the Holy Lands and around it, and killed and maimed and destroyed and ruined whatever they could in their wake. And as is the sunnah of the Dhul Arsh al-Majid, whenever wrong like that raises, Allah Rabbul Izzah rises up from the Ummah those that will raise the banner of resistance and standing firm. One such man was Abu Qudama al-Shami, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So this righteous scholar started to preach in the cities and in the masjids for the people to rise up, resist, fight back. And he would go masjid to masjid and encourage, motivate, wake the people up. And in this he spent his life. And once he was in Medina al-Munawwara, sitting in the masjid, so a person saw him and he said, Sheikh, you spent your life in this path of standing firm, standing for the cause of Allah, standing to resist occupation. Is there any outstanding story that stands out in your life from all the others? He said, yes, there's one, and I'll share it with you. He says, I went to the front lines, to the frontier, where the forces of Islam would meet the forces that had come to occupy and loot and plunder Muslim lands, the Crusaders. And in that city, he says, I went and talked in the masajid, and I motivated and encouraged people to spend in the path of Allah and take up arms in the path of Allah and defend the honor of Islam and the Muslims. And the young and old accepted, and young and old responded, and people that couldn't respond gave from their pockets and their wealth. And this happened for a few days on end. And then one night I went to my resting place, to my house, to my property, to my rental. And whilst I was there, I heard a knock on the door. So when I heard a knock on the door, I thought to myself, who is this? I'm in a foreign land. No one knows me here. So I went down, checked, opened the door, and a lady fully clad was in front of me. And she gave me a note in a little bag and didn't say anything and walked off. So he says, I opened the note, and in the note it said that I heard you speak in the masjid today about standing firm and standing in the path of Allah and resisting occupation and fighting for this righteous cause. And I don't have any male members left in my family. My father and my husband died last year in this campaign. And I don't have any wealth to give. So I looked at, but I want to contribute and I want to be part of this. So I looked around and found the most valuable two things I have. And these were the two braids of my hair. So I've cut this and I've knotted it into a rope. And now take this rope and put it on your horse. And maybe it could be my contribution to this campaign. So Abu Qudama al-Shami says, I was fascinated by her conviction and by her stance and by her history and by her legacy, because already a father has gone, already a husband has gone. He said, I slept. Next morning, the army was leaving and they were heading out towards the campaign. And he says, I was riding with the rest of the Muslims going to confront the crusaders, and I noticed a young rider coming behind me and calling out, Ya Aba Qudama, Ya Aba Qudama, I ask you in Allah's name, hold on a bit. So he said, I told my friends, you go ahead, I'll just speak to this young man. And he goes, I tarried, and I said, how can I help? And he said, I want to join your campaign. I told the young man that, let me see, if you are old enough, I'll let you join the campaign. If you're too young, then excuse yourself and go back. So he said, the lad uncovered his face. In uncovering his face, he said, it was as though you were looking at the moon. You know, righteous faces glow. Pious faces, you can see piety on them. So with youth and with piety, radiant face. But he looked only 17, 16. So I said, young man, this is war. Don't you have parents to go and be with? So he said, my mom has sent me here. And I don't want to return back empty-handed. I want to join. And I have been training in horse riding. And I have been training in the arts of war. And I am a hafiz of the Quran. So let me go. So Abu Qudama said, I said, okay. And Abu Qudama says, everywhere we tarried, this one was the best, most energetic of us. He was the one off first, setting up first, helping first. And when we set camp at night, many of us were fasting. So he said, food is on me. I am the one that will prepare the food. You guys don't do it. So because he didn't want people to be affected by the smoke and this and that, he set his little fireplace a little far. And then he started preparing. But then time went by and the young boy is not coming back. So his friends told him, he says, listen, can you go and see what is happening to the young lad? So Abu Qudama says, I went and I saw him. He's fallen asleep next to the fire. He's put his head on the rock. He's fallen asleep because long journey, tired.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
So Abu Qudama says, I thought Khair Miskin is tired. I'll cook instead for him so that people can eat. So he said, I started preparing the food and I'm keeping an eye on him because he's in my line of sight. And he says, as I am cooking, I saw the young boy smile. Like in his sleep, he's asleep, and he smiles. And then he smiles more, then he does a little giggle, and then laughs, and then wakes up. So when he wakes up, he sees Abu Qudama's cooking. So he goes, Uncle, sorry, I fell asleep, let me do this. He goes, no, tell me the dream, what did you see? He goes, leave this, Abu Qudama, leave this. He goes, I ask you in Allah's name, tell me what you saw. So he said, I saw that the hour had been established, Qiyamah had come. And we were entering Jannah, and I was of those entering Jannah. And it was, as the verses say and as the ahadith say, and beauty so bewildering that the mind would go crazy just looking at it. So because as I'm entering with this crowd, I see two young girls pointing at me and saying, "This is the husband of Mardiya." The husband of Mardiya. So I looked at them. I have never seen beauty like this. So I said, "Are you Mardiya?" And they go, "No, we are one of her maids, one of her servants. She is in that palace there. Go." So I went into the palace and I saw a brick of silver and a brick of gold and pillars. And then I saw a room of red gold. And he describes its beauty and he says, "Then I saw a lady standing in the middle of that." And he says, "Ya Aba Qudama, if Allah had allowed my eyes to go, it would have gone from her beauty. And if Allah had allowed my mind to go, I would have lost it just in her beauty." So she looked at me and said, "O friend of Allah, I am yours and you are mine." So he says, I moved forward and she moved back. She said, "No, you still have some time. We will meet tomorrow at Dhuhr." So naturally, happy, smile, giggle. What else would you smile at? So Abu Qudama says, next day, the campaign started, the battle started. And I looked for the young man and he's moved into the forefront, like at the front of the line. So I went to him, I said, "Young man, this is battle. It's not like you have imagined. There's blood and bone here, broken limbs and cut, it's not." So he says, "I know, but I'm not one to turn my back." So he ran in and the battle started and it continued. And by Dhuhr time, the enemy was uprooted and they fled. And the Muslims started to look for the fallen and look. And he says, "I looked around and I found a voice calling out, 'Call Abu Qudama, call Abu Qudama.'" So he goes, "I saw him hurt and in his last breaths." So he goes, "Oh, Abu Qudama, take this from me. Promise me this. Tell my mom that the gift she presented to Allah was accepted and I have achieved what my father and grandfather achieved before me." So Abu Qudama says, "Who is your mother?" He said, "The lady with the braids, the one that gave you her hair to put on the horse." And then he starts smiling. He goes, "Abu Qudama, she's here, Mardiya, sitting above my head. And it is as I had seen it in my dream." And then he, rahimahullah, passed away and went, inshallah, to the mercy of his Lord. I don't want misunderstanding of the story, because the point I am trying to raise is a point of standing firm. And what details I want you to notice is notice that the grandfather is on this path and the father is on this path. And that is the inspiration and motivation and drive of the young man. And when those two had died, had passed away, standing firm, the mother could have wavered. She could have got busy with nice shoes and fancy abayas. But staunch, firm, so that even without them, she is pushing on that same path, standing firm. And that is a lot of lessons for all of us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith informs us that humankind are like ma'adin, like mines, like as in, you know, if it's a gold mine, gold keeps coming out of that mine. you'll not get copper out of it. It's a gold mine. And if it's a copper mine, copper will keep coming. For me and you to ensure that we leave firmness behind us, we leave behind us a generation who will keep holding on to the deen. Me and you must bring deen into our lives to the level that it becomes the inspiration and aspiration of our kids. And when the men are not able to, or they are gone, or they weary, or they falter, the women should be at the level to keep the torch burning and keep the flag high and keep the family going and keep the children on that path. And alhamdulillah, we have people like that in our community. I saw in my experience a young mother, she lost her husband at a young age. And she had 4 or 5 kids left behind. And I have never seen such a committed mother to the cause that her kids grow up with Quran, and her kids grow up reciters, and her kids grow up hafaz, and it is a singular focus that they grow up to become assets of the deen and a legacy of their father. So dear ones, alhamdulillah, in this country, there's peace and safety and security and prosperity, and Allah bless it and keep it, Ya Rabb. And standing firm for me and you is not the same as standing firm for Abu Qudama and those that were there, but the themes are the same. The themes are the same. Each one of us, each husband, each wife, each father, each mother, must live so that the children see deen in us. Because as I started, you can't be what you can't see. Allah, let them see goodness in us. And Allah Rabbul Izzah, bring them up to be the coolness of your eyes and the delights of your hearts. فَقُلْتُ مَا قُلْتُ إِن تَكُوا حَسَنَةً فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَإِن تَكُوا سَيِّئَةً فَمِنْ نَفْسِي وَشَيْطَانِ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.